This is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode 153. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to get to it this week real quick because I've been having some power issues today, some water issues, a major storm here in Auburn, just slamming water up against my windows here this morning, pushing it into my garage. So wasn't able to make it to Without a Cause today. Apologize there. Hope everyone had a great time looking at the stuff here on social media. Looked like a fabulous time. Luckily I was able to make it out to Defy on Friday night. Great show there. Man, fabulous card. Crowd was hot from top to bottom, and man, just a good time there. So, all in all, it wasn't a big loss this weekend, but I'm so disappointed that I missed the Without a Cause show today. Heard Chris Bay retained. I was hoping my man Jet Knight would take that title. Heard producer Rob got into a match and took a little bump. Maybe he got carried out after that. We'll see what's up there. But you know what? Before anything happens, let's just get to this week's podcast with the one and only Fallen Flower at Fallen Kikyo. Kikyo! And we have a great chat talking all things Kikyo, her training, upcoming, what she was into when she was younger. She's got some great stuff coming up around here. She's going to take on Tuna at Suburban Fight Pro Wrestling. She's going to be at POW taking on Izzy McQueen. Taking on Funny Bone at 5cc in April, and she's going to just have a lot of great stuff coming up here. And so, like I said, check her out at Fallen Kikyo on Twitter, and we have a great chat. I hope you enjoy it. Please check it out. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your grandma. It's going to be a great time, and you can listen over on SoundCloud on the Pro Wrestling Only Network, by the way. Just you can subscribe to that. Check it out there, and almost all other podcast platforms, all the main ones, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, more, and also my website, BigfootProWrestling.com. And, dude, you want to get yourself a free trial over at Power Slam TV? Just use my free promo code, BFPW. FREE, and check out Defy, check out PCW Ultra, check out Bar Wrestling, check out Progress, and a whole bunch of more stuff over on there. And then follow me. I'm the L Train, BFPW POD Cast, BFPW Podcast. And I am the L Train, and we are leaving the station. Hey, let's talk nachos. Thank you to Chris and Sandra over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck for your support, your help, putting this podcast over each and every week the way you do. And you can check them out over at NachoMamasSeattle.com. You can check their entire menu out over there, by the way. See the specials. See where they're going to be this week. See where they're going to be next week. And just read up about them on their hot, fresh, gourmet ingredients. Let me tell you where they're going to be this week. On Thursday, they will be at Stoop Brewing in Ballard from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then Friday, February the 28th, No Boat Brewing, one of my favorite places, one of Mrs. Clam's favorite places, our favorite place in Snoqualmie from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then Saturday, Urban Family Brewing, 1 to 8 p.m. They have a new location in Ballard across from Stoop Brewing. More beers on tap. Big screen TVs, and an outdoor fire pit. And then on Sunday, Karn Brewing in Kenmore from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Check out these amazing specials they're going to have this week. Desperado nachos, cheddar cheese sauce, chorizo, lime crema, sweet bell peppers, arugula, and pickled red onions. Those pickled red onions are an amazing staple. They have them each and every week. They're fabulous. Let's get to the super, let's say, chili this week. They have the white bean and chorizo chili. And then for dessert, when you finish up your nachos, when you finish up your chili, dark chocolate brownie with red wine plum jam. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the folks at Nacho Mama's Food Truck. We appreciate them. Check them out at all those places, like I said. Check out that menu, NachoMamasSeattle.com. Hashtag Nachos and beer. Hey, yo, this is the L Train. We're back for another great podcast this week. I got the one and only, the Fallen Flower, Kikyo, here on the podcast finally. We've been trying to hook it up for a few weeks now. It finally happened. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. A little stressed out. Got some travel plans this weekend, but, you know, that's the life.
Is what it is, right? You got to just do what you do.
Yeah, so, like, I'm in right now. I'm literally, y'all are joining me in the process of dyeing my hair. Super fun.
Well, what color are we dyeing the hair tonight?
Plum.
Plum color. Getting the plum ready for your big wrestling weekend?
Yes, sirree. I've got Reactivate Pro Wrestling on Sunday in Richland, Washington. I don't know who I'm wrestling. It could be a guy. It could be a girl. I literally have no clue.
Really? That's got to be... Or does it really matter, man? You're a professional. You've been doing this for, what, 10 years, something like that, a little longer than that?
11 on March 2nd that I started training, actually.
Oh, my gosh. So is it a thing now, for you showing up and not knowing who you're going to wrestle?
I mean, shoot, half the time some of the girls that I'm booked against, I'm like, who? Where are they from? What? I'm like, I don't know who anybody is anymore, and I feel like a terrible person.
Oh my gosh. So you know, you said you're kind of busy this week, you're getting ready to travel and things like that. So what's kind of a regular week for the one and only Kikyo? Is it, you know, you got the a regular life Monday through Thursday and it's wrestling Friday through the rest, or, you know, how's it working?
That's exactly how it is, except it's Monday through Friday, man. I work 10 hours every Monday. And then I do wrestling training down at 3T1 Battle. I run class on Mondays. So I'm up at 4:30 on Monday morning, and I don't come home until about 11:30 at night, because I get off at 5:30 in the afternoon, and then pick up my boyfriend, go home, and then grab my gear. We head pretty much straight to Seattle because it's about an hour away.
Wow.
And class starts at 8 o'clock. We have beginner's class at 8. We have intermediate class at 9, and that all ends at 10 o'clock. So that means I don't leave there until about 10:15, because everybody's, you know, talking and having their Irish goodbyes or whatever you have. So it's a really, really late night for me on Monday, because then I have to get right back up at 4:30 a.m. the next day and do it all over. But this time on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I have an 8-hour shift. And then Friday, I have a 6-hour shift, and depending on the Friday, I'll be wrestling at 3-2-1 or whatever booking I end up having.
So on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when work's done, you get to go home and relax, or do you do any training of your own, or, you know?
I train on Mondays. That's kind of my thing right now, just because with the way my knee is in this ridiculous cold.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't feel the greatest after a long day of being on my feet in a warehouse. So I definitely go home, relax, get off my feet, because pushing myself through essentially a 20-hour day right off the bat, technically at the beginning of everyone else's week, this is actually at the end of my week, because I'll have work all week and then wrestle on the weekend. So I'm beating up my body Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, flying or driving and that kind of thing. So, and then come back Monday at 4:30 in the morning to get up and go to work at 6. So,
oh my gosh, that's just the grind right there. Well, tell us about the knee a little bit. You got a knee issue on there? You got to wear like the brace? Have you had some surgeries on it? Or is it just one of those things that you've wrecked it so many times when the cold weather comes out, it's just a bitch?
I really wish that was the case. July of 2018, myself, Britt Baker, Dust, also known as Zoe Sky, and was supposed to be Shotzi Blackheart, was supposed to be Delilah Doom, but they both broke their ankles 1 and 2 weeks prior to the trip. We all went to Japan. We got to tour with Stardom. Britt and Kylie were there for about, I think Britt was there for a week, Kylie was there for two. And I was supposed to be there with Zoe Sky until that following, like, mid-August. 3 days in, I tore my ACL going over what was supposed to be the first show. Picked her up in a Samoan. She slid out behind me to roll me up in a sunset flip. And as soon as her head got to my butt, snap.
Oh.
We went down. And this was literally an hour before the show started. I tore my ACL off of my femur. And I tore the posterior horn of my meniscus, which is like mostly the weight-bearing portion.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it was. I was more pissed off than anything. Because, like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, like, this, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm in fucking Japan. This is crazy. Excuse my French, but, like,
totally fine.
Oh, my God, how can this happen? Like, no, no, I'm not going to believe it. So, like, I go to the doctor, like, I'm laying there. And I'm like, all right, if I can stand up, I'm just going to tape it up and I'm going to wrestle. So I stand up. I'm like, okay, smarts a little bit. If I can stand just on this leg, I'm going to wrestle. And I tried and it went wobbly and I didn't want that Final Destination image in my head of my leg going sideways. And so I was like, I can't do it. I have too many wrestling moms in my head that I can just hear screaming, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Mm. So you were trying to, like, Triple H it a bit when he, like, tore this whole thing off his leg. You just got up. Any
way possible that I could still wrestle at least one match, just one. But I was doing a lot of powerhouse stuff with her, and there was no possible way that I could have feasibly and safely done it and not had every person in wrestling that I know be completely and utterly on my ass.
Oh man, if you could see me right now, I'm down, I'm on my knees, like giving you the wave that Triple H gave Ric Flair when he was retiring. Like, that's crazy shit, be able to do that. Just like, well, get up off ripping your own shit out.
Like, I mean, I've wrestled on a busted ankle. I had broken my ankle like 2 weeks prior, and I wrestled on it literally a day and a half later. Wrestlers are stupid.
Oh, you guys, like,
But like, as upset as I was about tearing my knee, what really just set the icing on the cake was my one of my trainers, Virgil Flynn III, ended up passing away 5 days later.
Oh my gosh!
So I like, and on top of it, I tore my knee on my dad's birthday. Like, he was super excited for me to come to Japan because he had been here, and, you know, been there in the military and really wanted me to see it, and I had talked about it since I was a little kid, so he was super excited. I'm like, call my dad. I'm like, Dad, I get to wrestle in Japan today. Happy birthday. I love you. Because it was still the 13th in America. And, went there, tore my knee. I'm like, Dad, didn't get to wrestle at Tormini. And then 5 days later, I wake up, and I'm like, something doesn't feel right. Like, what's going on? Something's wrong. And I looked at my phone, and Scoot Robertson had messaged me and was like, hey, I need to let you know that Virgil passed away. And I'm like, what do you, like, my first instinct was, why is he telling me that Virgil, like, Million Dollar Man Virgil passed away? Like, why, you know, not to sound like a jerk, but, like, why would I care? Like, I'm not close with him or anything like that. That'd be like, oh, that sucks. You know, I feel bad. But, okay, thanks you for letting me know so I can go tweet about it. And I was like, please tell me you're not talking about our Virgil. And ended up calling him. I'm like, what the F is going on? He's like, he just collapsed. He's 33 years old. 33. Two kids, wife, and just dropped. Literally had a seizure and dropped.
Oh my gosh. And at this so time, you're down from being injured. You're hearing about this of one of your trainers, man. What's going on in your mind?
I broke. I woke up everybody because I just started sobbing. I didn't know what else to do. There was a point in time where I legitimately thought about completely stopping. I had already stopped once before, and I was like, it's not something that I had gone through a lot of stuff, which we can, you know, talk about once you do the whole, you know, beginning to finish or whatever. But I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, Virgil. And he looked at me, he's like, is it, you know, do you love this? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It's something I've wanted since I was a little kid. He's like, okay, then, if, you know, suck it up. And he made me a deal. He's like, look, let me tell you this. If you really don't want to do this anymore, that's fine. but you let me kick you in the head. Then you can leave.
Damn.
Because he had seen all the things that I went through to be where I was at, and he never gave up on anybody. I'm not going to say you can't find, but I mean, you would be very hard pressed to find somebody to say a bad word about Virgil Flynn. That's the kind of person he was. People might have known him from the Impact or Global Force. He wrestled Kushida. He had a one-on-one match with Kushida. And then he was also in a four-way with Kushida and PJ Black. And I think TJ Perkins was the fourth person.
Oh, my gosh. That's just incredible stories. And, man, I'm sorry you lost him like that when you did. And, I don't know what to say right now.
Sorry to start off on a sad note. I'm like, let me just get this out of the way.
No, it's all right. I love that spontaneous in the podcast instead of me just, kind of going down my list or my thoughts sometimes. So thank you for sharing that. And we'll turn around to training in just a minute here again. And but I wanted to start you. Were you born and raised here in the Seattle area, the Bonnie Lake area, somewhere around here?
No, absolutely not. Born and raised a Cali girl.
Cali girl.
I am a Northern California girl, which if anybody from California, they are very specific about where you are from in California. Like, if you're from SoCal, you let everybody know that you're from SoCal. That's just how it's always been.
So what's the city, what's your throwdown out there in California? Where are you from?
I was born in Fremont, Bay Area. And then I was actually raised, I did elementary school in Tracy, and then I did, we moved to Modesto, California, which is just that is a dumpster fire of a city, if I've ever seen one. The claim to fame is, Scott Peterson, the guy who murdered his wife while she was pregnant back in the early 2000s.
I remember that story, following that story.
She was a substitute teacher at my middle school.
So she was in your class at some point?
I didn't have her, but I had friends who had her. And apparently she was like a super, super nice lady. And it was just like it was obviously a horrific story in the first place, just based, even if you didn't know them, like, holy crap, he dumped her in a lake.
Yeah, you're a little mentally irregular if you're even killing your wife, first of all, killing anyone, second of all, killing your pregnant wife, third of all. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
geez, just all of that.
You got problems. You got big, big problems. So when you're growing up down there in that area, you got to junior high and high school. What was Kikyo doing? Were you a sport person? Were you a gaming person? Were you one of the nerds? Were you, sci-fi, all that kind of stuff?
I was all of it. I was a weird kid. I've been picked on since, literally forever. I don't remember a time where I wasn't picked on, because as a kid in elementary school, I was a girl. I liked wrestling. I was a tomboy. I played soccer. From infancy, few years of jazz, tap, and ballet. Then I played soccer. I was a cheerleader. I did gymnastics. Soccer, cheerleading, gymnastics in elementary school. And then moved up to middle school, tried to cheerlead, but they wouldn't let me because I was in sixth grade, which I ended up opening the doors for all the sixth graders after that. So, USAC, you're welcome.
Did your parents get involved in that and help you out?
Nah, because then I was like, what's this? Color guard? Ooh. So I still know how to spin a flag and saber, and I can spin a rifle if need be. So that was pretty fun. That was all middle school. And then high school, I wrestled my freshman year in the 145 and 152 weight bracket. Was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I didn't win any kind of match unless it was a forfeit. So there's that.
Well, I actually had that on my list here. Did you do any amateur wrestling like in high school? And was it against guys or just females or was it both?
No, all of the females were in the 115 to 135 area. Like, if they were bigger, there was one chick. Oh my God, this chick was massive. She was 275, but she was 6 foot.
6'4"?
So, I mean, maybe not. No, it's 6 foot. Like, she was a
big girl. Oh my gosh, that's huge for that kind of era.
Yeah, she and was in the 270 because it went up to 215s, and I think it like then the 215s was like a pretty large bracket because I want to say that the next bracket up was 275 and up.
Oh man. So you're wrestling in high school. You said you weren't that good. I wasn't really that good either. I wrestled like 141 for a couple of years. And then I'm like, yeah, this is not like.
Well, my mom wouldn't let me play football. So I was like, fine, I'll be like Kurt Angle and I'm going to go wrestle.
She didn't let you play football, huh?
Can help me.
Would you have been able to turn out for the football team as a female then?
Yes. There was a girl on the squad actually a couple of years later.
Dude, that's awesome.
She wrestled and she was, that was my sophomore or junior year. Because I hurt my back sophomore year, and the junior year, he was like, you either can go work or you can wrestle. And I'm like, I'm going to go make money because I'm 16 and it's money and I have no bills. Like, bye.
And were your parents along with you at this point? Were they into you playing sports or did they like, you know, yeah, no, screw that. Go get your job or what was going on there?
No, my mom and dad split when I was 10. So like once I was like, when I was younger, they would always, you know, they'd always be at my soccer games. Cause both me and my brother played soccer. Oh, figure skating. I did that too. Cause I just remembered cause they wouldn't let me, my mom wouldn't let me play hockey either. Cause okay. I really wanted to play hockey, but she's like, no, you need to do something else. So I figure skated cause that's what girls do.
I mean, not to interrupt you real quick, but you wanted to do what the boys were doing. You were seriously tomboy, like you said. You wanted to play football, hockey. You wanted to get in there and just bang it out, like, side by side, right?
I'm the only girl in my family. Like, I have all brothers. Oh. All of my cousins that we were close with, that I grew up with, were all boys. The only girl cousins I had, like, they weren't people that I interacted with, so I didn't grow up around them.
Oh, I see now. I like got the boys. You're in there, like playing ball with your brothers, wrestling with your brothers, stuff like that, and
We had wrestling on literally since before I was born. I was going to wrestling shows in the womb, basically.
Oh, damn. Okay. Here we go. I'm just going to get to the next question. Then, when did wrestling come into your life for the first time and your first memories? But it sounds like the family was already watching it.
Yeah, my dad loved it. My mom watched it and stuff. Like, she tells me a story all the time of how I ruined her chances to go see Hulk Hogan wrestle because she was pregnant with me and she was sick.
It's all your fault.
My mom's really good on the guilt trip. So.
Oh, gosh. So that's cool. They were, like, totally into wrestling. And you said that was there before you came out. But what are your first memories? What do you remember when you're a kid? They had the TV on or whatever might be going on.
My first natural memory, not like somebody reminding me of something, is Shawn Michaels coming down from the rafters.
Oh.
That is my first natural memory that I can physically be like, what do I remember at the youngest age?
And that was against Bret Hart in the Iron Man match, if I'm not mistaken.
White outfit. Yeah, I can never remember what, like, everybody always is like, oh, blasphemy, you can't remember what. I'm like, I don't fucking care. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that was an awesome moment. And so that was when your first.
Yeah,
memories.
I specifically remember we were at my mom's, like, a friend of my mom's. Because we had went to Disneyland with them. And we were at their house watching the pay-per-view. And that, yeah, I remember seeing him coming down from the rafters and be like, okay, that's pretty freaking cool, man.
So at this point you started watching it. So was it a weekly thing in your house then? Everyone tuned into, you know, whatever it was then. Raw probably was going on then, and, you know, whatever TV
shows. I was born in 89, so I grew up with the Attitude Era. But like it was really in and out during high school. So that was like between 2003 to 2007, I was kind of in and out. But, like, I remember the wars happening. I remember trying to, like, the reason I even found WCW was we couldn't find WWF on the TV for some reason. It was really weird. We just, you know, we kept going to the channel, but it wasn't there. And we're like, what the hell is going on? So we were just flipping through channels, and WCW came up, and we're like, oh, what is this? And that's how I found WCW.
And what was going on at that point on WCW, if you remember?
Oh, God, I don't know. I have no idea. I just remember being enamored with Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho and all the cruiserweights.
They were basically hitting in their prime then, because when those guys were carrying the show, and then you had Hulk and those guys, which were fun, obviously, you know, but they weren't put on the wrestling matches that those guys were, you know, Benoit, Jericho, Malenko.
I thankfully only remember the good wrestling. Like, I can't give you a specific match or anything like that, but I specifically remember watching good wrestling because I remember watching the cruiserweights.
Oh, the cruiserweight stuff was phenomenal, I thought. It just really elevated the show, because they'd start off the shows usually, you know, in the very beginning. There wouldn't be that long 15, 20-minute kind of promo with a bunch of people in the ring. They'd put on one of those matches, and it would just be incredible. And then they kind of could roll out some of the NWO and those kind of things then, and it was a great great produced show.
Yeah, like I remember more specific things from like WWF than I do from WCW.
Well, what were those specific things then? What did you just love about? What was it when you watched that just was like grabbing you?
The adrenaline. I would get an adrenaline rush watching it. Like even now when I watch some of my own matches back, it's the weirdest thing. Like it almost brings me back into that moment, and I'm like, I sit there and I feel myself start to shake. I'm like, what the hell's the matter with me? I'm not even in the ring. Come on now, calm down here.
And did the parents at this point take you to any, and your brothers, any events?
My first event was, I believe, a Raw. I remember specifically this was the storyline between Jeff Hardy and Trish Stratus, and Trish and Jeff kissed, and I was livid.
It was Jeff and Trish kissing.
Yep. I was so upset as like a 14-year-old girl. And, so mad.
What was it? You were just like, because you love Jeff Hardy? Or was
absolutely.
It...
Okay, so this is going to sound really creepy, and I'm sorry, Jeff, if you ever hear this. I was so obsessed with the Hardys. Like, those were my guys. Like, I was like, it was all about the Hardy Boys. I could write a like 4-page book report on Jeff Hardy without using a book.
Wow.
That's how bad it got. It was bad. When I actually met Jeff the one and only time I got to meet Jeff Hardy, he was the first wrestler I ever got to meet. And, I cried. Like, you thought everybody like made fun of AJ Lee when she met Lita. Yeah, no, I beat that. Like, thank God mine wasn't recorded. I was hyperventilating.
So there's no live video out there of this, huh?
No, thank God.
Damn it.
But there is a photo floating around somewhere of me with, like, I'm in his green JH t-shirt. I've got this, like, camouflage fishnet shirt underneath it, so I have the fishnet like him. And I have these fucking parachute pants on. And I'm throwing up the Hardy symbol, and I'm smiling with my mouth closed because I'm still crying, and my eyes are just bloodshot red.
Oh my gosh, you were just living it, loving it. Oh, you were into it. You were marking.
So terrified, because like I had finally, like, he walked in the door and I just like error 404, I don't know, oh my god, that he's freaking real, holy crap. And so I was like second in line. I had been there since like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was supposed to happen at like 2. I freaking 404'd out, let a few people go ahead of me to try and calm down so that way I could meet my idol. And when I finally got there, the promoter for Big Time Wrestling in Newark, who happened to be running the thing at the time, he's like, hey, Jeff, this is that girl that I told you about. Cue immediate restart of hyperventilating and crying.
So did you get it together as you got to meet him then, or was it just all tears and...
I spelled my name wrong because I couldn't spell it how to spell my name.
Oh, that's great. Oh, gosh, so the one and only time you got to meet him. So what did you think about the... maybe you didn't care because you like Jeff Hardy. What about the Matt Lita Edge storyline?
Ooh, that... I was pissed, man. I felt for Matt so bad. Like, that was just such a mess. And then to bring it like in real life,
right.
You know, and to bring that kind of storyline to television and make them go through all that in public. Oh, man.
Well, how would you feel about that? Like the promoter comes to you, you know, you were seeing this guy, but now you're seeing this guy's and like wants you to do a whole storyline on camera in front of everyone.
I mean, you mean kind of like what they're doing with Joey Janela and Kip Sabian?
Yeah, a little bit. But would you be like, what the hell are you talking about? You know,
I personally would not be comfortable with it. It's already hard enough dating in the business, and to add stuff like that, just like, no thanks, I'm good.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine that. Like, that's got to be so hard on everyone's emotions and everything that's going on. And,
No way. Like, there was a girl back in the day who slapped me in the face in the locker room when I went to go shake her hand. And I still worked her later that night just because I was already at the show and couldn't leave. So, didn't take any liberties, nothing like that. I was very professional the entire time. Didn't start a fight, nothing. But after that, people tried to capitalize on all of the crap. And I was like, Booker hits me up, hey, we really want you to work this show. And I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. I'd love to. You know, I've been wanting to work for you guys again for a while, blah, blah, blah. Little niceties, right? And so I'm like, who am I working? Oh, you're working this girl. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to respectfully decline the booking because I don't feel that I could give you the match that your company deserves with that person. So unless you would like to book me up against somebody else, you're going to have to find someone else to work with her.
How'd they feel about that?
He was just like, okay.
They respected it. That's good.
Thankfully, well, I mean, I had known him since I was 15 years old, so he better.
Exactly. No, I've heard a couple things like that, and I was like, that's actually a thing backstage. But I, you know, as a fan, you don't think about that kind of stuff. Like, you know, you think about, okay, this, who's ever running it tells you go out and do these things and whatever. But I never thought about the, you know, maybe some personal issues between some people backstage that could interfere.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm good. I mean, there's wrestling isn't just the only place that you have to work with people you don't like. You know, it just happens to be a lot more life endangering.
Well, you're going out there and putting basically each other's life in each other's hands, right? You know, and if something's wrong that you can't really maybe trust it. I don't know.
Absolutely, because there's people who take liberties. Sexy Star, good example. Taking liberties on somebody who didn't even have a part in whatever issue was going on.
Didn't hear from her again after that.
Exactly. You didn't hear from the other girl that I worked with either for a while.
Gotcha. Hey, so
she's not into wrestling anymore anyway, so.
There we go. Hey, you know, we were talking about, you know, growing up, watching wrestling, your first live events. So when did it come in your mind? Like, you know, Ma, Pa, whoever you're talking to, your brother.
No Mercy, 1999 tag team ladder match for the Terry Invitational Tournament.
You're just like, bam, that's it. And so tell us about that.
That was the match that made me say, I'm going to do this someday.
Why?
And I actually gotten to tell Matt and Edge that, which is pretty cool.
And why was it? Why did it happen? Why were you like, this is it, I'm doing this, Crit?
The adrenaline, like I said, the adrenaline of just watching the show in general, watching the fans stand up, because they would do that great pan, you know, hard cam shot of the crowd getting on their feet when Jeff gets to the top of the ladder, and you see just everyone in unison go bing, 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 and then the flash of the camera. Like, I've been in front of crowds pretty much my entire life. Like, even when I was a kid, my mom had me in like baby pageants and stuff like that, so I've always been in front of a crowd and entertaining and doing something. And it was just so cool because it was like a mixture of, oh, and I did taekwondo, forgot about that too.
All kinds of memories coming back here tonight on the Big Pro Wrestling Podcast.
It was like a mixture of gymnastics and karate and all of the things that I was already doing in one. And it was just so crazy. And when I turned 19 is when I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go and fucking do it. I've been sitting on my butt for the last year or so, something like that, because I just graduated high school, didn't have anything going on, was on unemployment, was getting like almost $400 a week. I didn't give a crap about nothing because I could pay my car payment with one check. I Googled wrestling schools in California. The first one that popped up was All Pro Wrestling, run by Roland Alexander, rest in peace, as well. That was like $6,000 a month. Or not a month, but it was like $6,000, and you had to like pay a certain amount up front and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's got to be
All Pro Wrestling. People might know Brian Danielson, or Daniel Bryan actually was a trainer there for a little bit, as well as Sarah Amato. Cheerleader Melissa worked there a lot.
I was going to ask you, you know, when you wanted to start doing this pro wrestling thing, what did the family think about this?
My mom thought I was crazy. My dad's like, hell yeah, go for it.
Nice. So you got a conflict at home. Mom's not into it. Dad's into it. Are they willing to help you out? You got to work for your own thing to get this done?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, my mom would like kind of, I guess at some point she was just kind of like, screw it. I guess this is what she wants to do. Fine. It was more of like when it interfered with like family situations, that's when she, you know, when are you going to stop this wrestling thing? That kind of stuff. Like for the most part, they've always been extremely supportive of anything that I do. But when I'm, you know, missing my grandfather and his brother's birthday to go down to a show in LA, literally that morning, like getting a last minute phone call, like, hey, oh my God, I can't get a hold of so-and-so. I don't know what to do. I'm like, all right, call the promoter, let him know I can do it if he needs me to. And let me know as soon as possible because I'm leaving for my grandfather's birthday party.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, pack your bags. I'm like, all right. And I told my mom we were literally about to leave. Like, door was open. Mom, I'm not going. What? Blew up. She's crying. It was a scene. I called my uncle later that night to wish him happy birthday and, you know, apologize and whatnot because I hadn't seen him since I was 10. That was the last time I saw my uncle was when I was 10 years old. And he ended up passing away a few years ago, actually.
There's been two times
where I've gotten chances to see him, but I was either wrestling or out of state.
What did he say to you on the phone when you called him, though? Was he like, you know, just do your thing?
Yeah, absolutely. He was so supportive, and I don't even think he knew that I wrestled, or if he did, like, you know, I didn't know if he knew or not. So I was like, hey, like, I'm really sorry about this last-minute deal. Like, I really wish I could be there. I'm just, you know, apologizing profusely. He's like, honey, don't worry about it. Go do your thing, have fun, be safe, go and kill it, and whenever you get out to Oklahoma and you're wrestling, you let me know so I can go.
Oh, nice. Did he ever get to see you watch, or, sorry, get to see you wrestle?
Unfortunately, I don't know. I never got to wrestle in front of him. No. I don't know if any of my like, family members ever showed him videos or anything like that. I think my mom might have, just, you know, to update him on, like, hey, Uncle Johnny, like, this is Brittany now, or, you know, whatever.
Right. I'm sure he, you know, wherever, he's kind of looking down at you, and he knows. But, so how did you get into this training after that, that you eventually, you know?
I found North American Wrestling, and that was ran by Money Mike Rain, also known as James C. from Hood Slam.
All right.
He ran it along with I think it was him and a couple other people. It was also run by Brian Raymond prior to that. That kind of transferred owners, so it kind of went under. But then I was picked up by Bobby Hart from Pro Wrestling Bushido. Ran with him until, let's say, I started March 2nd, 2009. then I left in July of 2010. Was gone for about a year and a half. I came back technically December of 2011, but I had my first match back February of 2012, and I've been wrestling ever since. About 2014, I moved up to Sacramento and was with Supreme Pro Wrestling for a while, and that's where I really got to really get my hooks in with Virgil, and then with also CJ Curse, formerly known as Dante, if anybody from, you know, the Northern Cal, everybody from NorCal knows who I'm talking about, so that's okay. But they really, like, in 2014, I had a changing of gimmicks, due to a cease and desist order that was given to me by one of my former trainers. It was a big, huge mess, and I didn't know what to do, and that's when Virgil gave me the kick in the head ultimatum, and he helped me realize Kikyo. We came up with a name. We tried, you know, we tore apart my old gear so that way I at least had something to wrestle with. And then we just kicked it from there, and I trained dungeon style from there on out. Like, we were in Virgil's garage on mats. CJ would show us grappling, and we would do a lot of chain work and stuff like that, and being able to get in and out of moves. And, all right, we're going to put 5 minutes on the clock, try and tap each other out as many times as possible.
Mm, man. Was this the tweet that you sent out a tweet a while ago that said 6 years ago today, Kikyo emerged from the ashes of what left her former personal? Is this what that was about?
Yes.
Gotcha.
That was the photos from the very first match that, at the time, Kikyo Nakamura, which I didn't know about Shinsuke, so people can get off my ass.
I was looking at that earlier online. I thought maybe you were just related, you know, somehow.
Well,
just,
what you know. I did was I built myself from Osaka, and the most common last name in that prefecture, guess what, is Nakamura. I did my research. I'm going to build myself from a prefecture. I might as well have some kind of Smith last name.
Right. So, you had your trainers. You mentioned all of them here in Virgil Flynn. Was there any other people, like friends or other classmates that you met along the way that really were, like, you know, in your corner and helped you out?
Brittany Wonder. I literally lived on her couch for like 2 years. Joda Soul was there when I first moved up to Sacramento. Mike Hayashi, just everybody at Supreme Pro Wrestling, Drake Frost, like, the Handsome Devil Riv, like, that's my brother, like, Levi Shapiro, like, that NorCal clique is so tight-knit and so close. Like, I lived with Drake for, like, a month because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I lived with Alexis Derevko and Riv for, like, a year or two, like, yeah, like, a year-ish. I lived with Brittany for, like, almost 2 years. I couldn't have asked for a better circle, and I kind of wish that I appreciated it more, but I was going through so many mental things that it was just impossible to see past it at that time.
Well, it seemed like you, I was looking at, I don't know if you looked at cagematch.net, you know, it has...
That thing is creepy, man. They have matches on there that I, like, completely forgot about, like, and they update, like, almost immediately. It's weird. Yeah. I don't know who runs that, yeah. But it's weird. It's really weird.
That's where I get some of my information about matches or cards and stuff, man. And it seems like you had a lot of matches or worked with Brittany Wonder along the way in the early days.
Funny enough, I actually haven't worked her that much.
Really?
We tagged a couple of times, and we worked, like, I think we started working a lot more towards, like, the end of me moving to Florida.
Oh, I gotcha.
But, like, yeah, it was funny because we really didn't work very much, but I worked with Lisa Lace a lot. I worked with Thunder Rosa a lot. I worked with Kimmy Shellhammer a lot. Ray's, when I would go down to SoCal, would always be, like, my, you know, go-to opponent when they would book me.
So what, you know, in training, what was the hardest part for you? Was it physically, mentally, you know, what was going on there? Was it just easy as shit to you?
Mental was definitely worse, because I was bullied by my classmates, too. I was literally bullied up until, like, 2014. No, maybe, like, maybe 2015, because it took a little bit for everybody to kind of back off. But, yeah, it was frustrating for a while to get past it. The physical part was, it's not that it wasn't, that it was easy, but, like, the way my body is, I work a certain style anyways, and so it's really not, like, the most difficult style, I guess. I mean, it can be if you want to get super, super intricate with it, but I'm a pretty kick-punch kind of guy, so.
I was actually going to ask you about, what do you consider your style? Are you just a brawler?
You
get in there and beat the shit out of people?
I'm definitely a brawler. Like, very... People compare me to Bull Nakano a lot, because I'm still quick. Even for my size.
So, recently I'm having a name issue right now, but on, AEW Wrestling. Mm-hmm. She recently won the AEW title. And some people are taking issue with it because she had a change.
They take their issue and they can shove it up their butt.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That is my girl. I would support the shit out of her no matter what. Screw the haters. It's literally like, you know, your name's Lyle, okay? Mm-hmm. Be like, if I called you Kyle, you'd be like, hey, that's not my name. This is what my name is. And if I still called you Kyle, I'd be the asshole, right?
Right.
So if someone identifies as one particular thing, whether it's a freaking raccoon, a rabbit, or a female or a male, or nothing in between, if you say, okay, well, you're this. No, I'm not. I'm this. And you continue to not go by that. You're the asshole. It's really freaking simple.
I appreciate your opinion on that so much. Because I watched, I was like, oh, this is awesome. She got it. Da-da-da-da. And then, you know, fucking social media has to ruin shit, you know. And but I just wanted to ask your opinion on that. I know you're a fan, and man, I thought it was phenomenal to see her take that belt that night.
She should have had it. I mean, honestly, she should have had it first off. Like, Rio's great, but the believability is really hard for me to get past.
Gotcha. Because the size difference kind of thing?
Absolutely. Like, I've seen small people knock out giant people, but there's still got to be a level of believability.
So, we're on this kind of subject about women wrestling and things like that. Let me hear your thoughts about the women's wrestling, you know, as a whole these days. I mean, you know, the WWE, you know, for years tried to start their women's revolution. I think they've done a really good job with it. I think they need to do a little more. Recently, Impact Wrestling, Tessa Blanchard winning their heavyweight championship, you know, their main title. You know, things have been pretty hot on wrestling, the independent scene, intergender wrestling. What are your thoughts on everything?
I mean, congrats to, I want people to enjoy wrestling. Like, just enjoy it. It's there for you to enjoy. Just do it. It's really great. Like, if you don't like intergender wrestling, don't watch it. If you don't like this, that, or the other, like, just don't watch it. There's a bazillion things for you to watch. You've got Twitch. You've got YouTube. You've got Facebook Live. You've got IWTV. You've got Fight TV. You've got Shimmer and Rise that have a streaming service. You've got Impact has a streaming service. WWE has a streaming service. I'm sure AEW will have a streaming service in the next, like, year and a half because they have to have a library to stream. It really isn't difficult to like wrestling nowadays. There is literally something for everyone. You like costumes? Go watch some of the cosplay stuff. There's 3-2-1 Battle, where, you know, the home of weird wrestling. There's the Comic-Con wrestling in Florida. There's Fest. There's Bizarro Lucha. Like, go find it. Go find what you like and watch it. Stop bitching about it. But then I guess if, you know, they weren't bitching about it, we wouldn't have fans. So there you go.
Exactly.
Fifth Amendment. Just don't be, you know, pocket Bible. Don't be a see you next Tuesday.
And then there's been some recent comments online. And I'm not going to say who, you know, saying promotions like Defy and others and don't have the Pacific Northwest wrestling promotions. I'm trying to say, I mean, 3-2-1 Battle has women's wrestling, intergender wrestling, everything every couple weeks. Do you think some of the other promotions maybe lack it just a little bit?
Lack intergender wrestling?
Intergender wrestling and some women's wrestling. They don't have it each and every month, from what some people are saying.
Oh, we're talking Defy, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, 3-2-1 Battle has a woman pretty much every show.
No, they do. Defy doesn't each and every month. Even WAC doesn't have a women's wrestling match each and every month. I don't know about DOA and some of the other ones. I haven't looked back and checked stats, but I'm just talking about what's been on kind of the social media lately.
I mean, it's honestly up to the fans. If they are that upset that, you know, Defy or WAC or insert company name here doesn't have a female match or an intergender match or a female on the card or whatever, tell them. They don't know unless you make a stink about it. It shows in the pocketbooks. If you want a specific person there, you have to ask. Like, I'm not saying bogart somebody's match and start chanting some random person's name, but like, if there's enough buzz of like, oh, hey man, we really want to see Kikyo back at Defy, like, say something. There's the Defiance page where you could be like, hey, man, I really miss Jungle Jack. Holy crap, Jungle Jack's coming, you know, or something like that. They listen. If enough people, it's the crowd effect. If enough people say something, they'll listen, or they'll lose business, or they'll lose business. So what would they rather do? Book somebody and see whether they're crappy or not, and then have everybody be like, oh, okay, I guess that wasn't that great, and then never use them again? Or take that chance, have a new crowd favorite, have somebody that puts even more butts in seats.
No, that's completely awesome. I love the way you put that, and thank you so much for answering that question. I'm just going to ask you real quick before we go here tonight. You know, you got some stuff coming up here here in the Northwest, and dude, there's this show coming up. We haven't found a lot of info on it until today. Suburban Fight Pro Wrestling. No ring, no rules. And we see you're taking on the one and only Tuna on, where's the date here? I don't know if I got the date.
I was going to say, can you send that to me? Because you just let me, like, I confirmed the booking. But this is the first time hearing about
it. All right, my friend, you're taking on.
Is this on the Twitter or is this on, where is this at? Twitter or the Insta?
This was straight from Suburban Fight Pro Wrestling. They sent out a thing on their Facebook today, and Facebook, you clicked on it. There was like four matches and a scramble. And it says that you are Russ. This is great. I'm breaking news to you.
Oh, that's my bad. I don't think I actually have the page liked.
You're taking on the one and only Tuna.
Oh, that's not it. I'm trying to find it. I feel so terrible. It's February 28th, right?
No, it's March the 1st. Sunday, March the 1st.
Oh, there it is. Found it.
Near downtown Seattle. No rings. Okay, no rules.
There we go.
There's also, before, while you're doing some research, Matt Cross.
Yeah, I just found it. Okay.
Matt Cross, Warhorse, Chris Bay, Sonico, a scramble, and you're taking on Tuna.
Who's Tuna? Is that Priscilla Kelly?
No. I don't think it is.
Is that a fair assumption?
Well, it's great. No, that was great because you said that. And I think Priscilla Kelly wrestled Tuna at one point and did the whole tampon gimmick and all that kind of stuff. I think Tuna's a blonde chick, I think.
I did it first.
I did some mild research tonight before the show.
I did it first.
All right. You did it first. Okay. The
literally, I did.
The gimmick? The
tampon thing, yeah.
Okay.
It was against Zach Monstar in Florida at Real Pro Wrestling. And yeah, I took a tampon out of my snatch and I shoved it in his mouth. I gave him a kiss and I DDT'd his face into the mat.
Oh, I love you right now. Thank you so much for being on here tonight.
Actually, I just shared a photo of it from, it was like popped up in my memories from when the photos came out. And in one of the photos is me kissing him. And I shared it. I'm like, oh, look, it's our first kiss.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. So, yeah, you know, $20 for tickets to go to this thing on Sunday, March 1st. I'm assuming there's got to be some more to the show than what they announced because they gave it like a 3-hour slot. So looking forward to that. Can't wait to come and see that.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting.
And then let me look here on my little list of things here. Sunday, March 8th, Eugene, Oregon. You're going to be doing the POW, POW, Pro Wrestling, Altered Egos, and you're going to take on a person that's been on the show before, Izzy McQueen.
Yes, I shall. That'll be a fun one. I'm actually really excited to work with her because we haven't gotten to really mess around at all except for in the Battle Rumble, so... Let's. Right. I'm going to show the Kawaii monster what a monster really looks like. So,
have you wrestled for POW before?
No, the last show I came in and I attacked Christina Von Erie because I can.
Oh, so you came in just mass destruction and then?
I sat down, watched the show. You know, got my ticket, watched the show, and she came out, wrestled Izzy, and she was gone by. slap hands, and then I slapped her face.
Nice. So that's Sunday, March 8th, Eugene, Oregon. POW, which means POW, Pro Wrestling Altered Egos, you and the one and only Ms. Izzy McQueen. And then look at this, Saturday, April the 11th, the day after my birthday, by the way, Bellingham, Washington, 5CC Wrestling, Easter Slam, you and Funny Bone, which is funny because I just had him on this podcast last week.
I've known Funny Bone since day one. I've known him for almost 11 years now. He gave me my first tub of face paint, he and I have been through a lot together, so this will be the third time that we've worked, and it's going to be painful, to say the least. It's going to hurt.
Well, I get to see him at Without a Cause as we're speaking, as we're recording this Sunday, taking on Pitfall Jones, and I'm looking forward to it. I think he is the world record holder of the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling podcast of F-bombs.
Yes. The only other person that could possibly outdo him would be the big ugly JD Bishop.
Big ugly? Oh, maybe so.
Yeah, big ugly. What? That would be... Well, or CJ Curse, actually. those three in a row. Oh, earmuffs for everyone.
Big Ugly was just on Defy show that last month in that scramble, and he was kicking some ass in there, if I think I'm the same guy that you are.
Yeah, that's one of my dads. Like, I literally, like, see him. I'm like, hey, dad. And he's like, hey, girl. And he, like, gives me a hug and a kiss. And, yeah, that's my dad. He's another person that would definitely, like, he picked me up, would take me shopping when I needed to because I didn't have a car. Like, that's my dad. I helped him with his math homework when he was when he was in college. Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you know, I was talking earlier about the Northwest scene and the women's and everything. We got DOA, Prestige, POW, which is POW, you know, 5cc. There is Lucha Libre Volcanica. There is 3-2-1 Battle. There is Defy. There is Without a Cause. There is ECCW. What are your thoughts? You know, you've been around this Northwest scene for a while right now. What do you think about right now how this scene is looking?
Being from California and having a ton of places to go wrestle, it's different. And then also being in Florida for the 6 months that I was and literally being able to wrestle on any day of the week, being out here is definitely a step back because there wasn't as many places to work with. Like when I came out here in 2018, WAC wasn't around yet. 5cc wasn't around. I think Defy was like on their first year. Cause I think they just had their 3-year anniversary, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So they were on their first year. 3-2-1 Battle was getting bigger. And I had only heard about 3-2-1 because of Otis. Cause I've known Otis and, you know, for 11 years as well. And it's really cool to see it grow. And to hear stories of like what it used to be like, because up down in California, all we knew was that when you go to Oregon and Washington, be careful because they're not very good. And to see the level of training and, you know, the level of wrestling increase and get better is just, it's really cool to see. And then now to have a part in that and be running classes on Mondays and being able to, you know, teach people what, you know, I've come up with or the drills that I had been put through. It's just, it's really cool. I really enjoy it.
So you get a satisfaction in maybe carrying on the things that were dropped to you by your trainers.
Absolutely. Like I messaged CJ the other day and I was like, hey boss, like, what's that one drill you used to run us through where we started on our knees? He's like, oh, you know, just literally jump and roll wherever, just create a sequence. I'm like, you know, I've always been terrible at that. No.
Well, tell us about real quick, the 3-2-1 Battle growth. They've in the last couple of years, you know, have really gone a long ways. They become, you know, they got all their licenses and all the things they need to get. And they're selling out the show box once or twice a year now. And they're just doing great things over there. And I know, you've been there a lot of Friday nights helping them out.
It's the only place that I've felt at home that actually welcomes me in and does. I don't feel like an outsider. I don't feel like I have to walk on eggshells with anybody. And if there is issues, like it gets stomped out quickly. I haven't felt this at home since like I was at Virgil's pretty much. They're so helpful with character and like, if you want to get better, all you have to do is say so and they will help you. You just have to open your mouth and you have to be willing to put in the work. When I first got there, the only thing I could compare it to was Hood Slam. So I had a very high level of expectation when it came to overly gimmicky wrestling. Hood Slam is like top level bar none. And they have this perfect, like almost perfect mix of over the top, you know, gimmick and character, but with like 5-star matches happening almost every single night. And now they're, you know, up to, they were running out of a freaking warehouse and now they're selling out 4 weeks a month. Like, that's crazy to see how much that they've grown over the last 10 years. It's insane. And then, like, I was a part of Freak Show Wrestling, which it was very over the top. The wrestling was, you had some good guys, but for the most part, it was kind of the WCW. Like, it wasn't that, you know, you didn't go to Freak Show for the wrestling. You went there for all of the gaga. And so 3-2-1 Battle kind of like has found this perfect little niche right in between those two. And it's just really cool to see them getting closer to that Hood Slam level of competition.
Oh, they're doing a great job. But, you know, they're on Twitch every other week. So if you can't get down to the Battle Palace, you can pull it up and check it out on your streaming service, you know, or your Amazon TV or whatever it might be. So I really enjoy it because I really can't get down there a lot on Friday nights at 9 o'clock. So I really enjoy it a lot. I think they are also producing and training some of the greatest referees of all time coming out of here.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Girl Heather, Chris Bushi, who is absolutely amazing, and it breaks my heart because he just, like, blasted apart his knee reffing a match, so he's out for the foreseeable future. Same with our other male ref. He's out on injury because he'll freaking cut his thumb off and they had to reattach the damn thing. We've got Jamie Smiles.
Jamie, love her.
Yeah, I think she's visiting family at the moment. We've got, oh my gosh, what did they call her? What's our beautiful little mullet referee?
Oh, top of my head, I can't remember the names. I know
I know her Facebook name is Hyacinth. I'm so sorry, baby, I love you. But she's also from Oregon, so she's freaking amazing, and she's getting better every single time she refs. Like, yeah,
Kendall Marie.
Who? What? Oh, I'm kidding.
I was almost like, what?
Gotta keep the gimmick, bro.
gotcha. Hey, you know, Kikyo, we've been talking over an hour here. I should probably let you go. We could probably talk another time. You're so busy. I appreciate you coming on here tonight, giving me your time. I know you're, by the way, how's the hair dyeing going?
It's baking, so.
All right, you're baking it right now, getting it ready.
I'm like, all right, cool, I'm done doing this, so now I can sit there, let it, you know,
get everything packed for the trip. Your dudes, is he making you something to eat or something?
No, he actually just brought my drink in.
There you go. So he's taking care of things. Good for you. Anyway, so I talked about a few things that are coming up in the next few weeks. What else is coming up for the Fallen Flower, Kikyo?
Let's see. Yeah, February 23rd, I have Reactivate Pro Wrestling. That's in Richland, Washington, at Joker's Comedy Club. I have no idea who I'm wrestling, so go there and find out with me. March 6th, I'm back at 3-2-1 Battle. March 8th, as we mentioned, I'm at POW against Izzy McQueen. We've got 3-2-1 again on the 20th. And then I actually come back home to NorCal for East Bay Pro Wrestling on March 21st. Which I'm super excited about. I haven't wrestled in Northern California since I moved in 2017. So it's been 3 years since I've been home.
Coming home after 3 years, that's got to be a lot of fun for you. Your nerve shooting a little bit?
Oh, no, not at all. I feel bad for the girl that I'm wrestling.
Awesome for you. And then, hey, if folks want to follow you on social media, or there is a company out there that wants to book you, how do they do that?
You can email me at bookfallenflower@gmail.com. That's bookfallenflower@gmail.com. Yes, Jeff Jarrett's awesome with, like, letters and stuff, so there you go. and then you can follow me on all social media aspects at Fallen Kikyo, FallenKikyo. That's on the Twatters, the Instas. You can find, literally, if you type in Kikyo and it's a cartoon character, you're in the wrong spot.
And then, let's say, okay, Kikyo's coming to our town pretty soon. I got to get over there and I got to get that merch. Where do we go
over for
that?
You can head over to prowrestlingtees.com/, guess what, Fallen Kikyo. Ah, there you go. Keep it all one thing. Everybody knows where to go. It's great. You can also subscribe to my Patreon, which I'm still trying to get the hang out of. So, you know, I completely understand if you only pledge $5, but still, $5 helps me get new gear. So that way you guys can see me wrestle in pretty things. once I'm in the process of like moving in the next few weeks. So once we get settled in and stuff, I'll definitely be posting a lot more on my Patreon.
And and when you're at the shows, do you carry some merch with you?
I usually have 8x10s at the very least. Sometimes I'll have my shirts depending on where I'm at. 3-2-1 battle, I usually have my shirts. Gotcha. But you can always go and get a shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/FallenKikyo.
Fallen Kikyo. And anyway, thanks so much for coming on here tonight. I appreciate you so much. I had a blast chatting with you. And what are your final thoughts before we head off into the night?
Stop ruining wrestling for everybody, you freaking bozos. Just enjoy it. God.
I agree with that 100%. Quit the hate. Love what you want. Don't hate what somebody else wants. And let's all just enjoy professional
Unless it's
wrestling.
In friendly competition. Well, friendly competition is okay. Don't be a sore loser or a sore winner either. Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. Hashtag don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. Say it like Sean Connery.
Hey, Kikyo, good luck to you with this coming weekend. And thank you so much. And hey, we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.